Judge ruling that the state election board cannot require poll workers to hand count the number of ballots to ensure that the tally matches a machine tabulation. Former President Trump taped a Fox News town hall with an all-female audience that will air today and declared himself the father of IVF. Vice President Kamala Harris appearing today along the Delaware River at the location where George Washington crossed the river. She'll be appealing for bipartisan unity and will argue that she will defend the country's founding principles. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Most public schools in Wisconsin will get more money from the state this year. The Department of Public Instruction is out with its general state aid figures. Two-thirds of school districts will get more money. A third will get less. In all, Wisconsin is sending about $5.5 billion to local schools. Local clerks say they'll run a free and fair election on November 5th. Brian Hinkle is with the Movement Advancement Project. He says local clerks in states take great care each step of the way.
For many voters, they cast their ballot and that feels like the end of the process. But in reality, that's the first step in a deliberate, specific, and careful process to get the final election results.
Congress adopted new safeguards for the electoral count process after the 2020 presidential election. I'm Terry Bell. Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
Civic Media News. I'm Austin Brume, and here's what Northern Wisconsin needs to know. This Saturday from 4 p.m. to 8 p.m., it's the Island City Fall Wine Walk. This is an annual event sponsored by the Minocqua Island Business Association, which is a nonprofit organization, and profits are used to support other local nonprofit organizations and fund other activities and events in Minocqua. You can enjoy the Island City nightlife, including music, special sales, free drawings, and picturesque views of Lake Minocqua. Tickets include an event bag with wristband, commemorative wine glass, and map with all participating businesses and the wines they will be serving. 20% of the walk profits will go to the Minocqua Public Library. If you're unable to attend this event, they encourage you to donate instead of purchasing a ticket. In-person tickets will also be available at Talon Song Gaming in downtown Minocqua. Tickets will be turned in at Gaslight Square on the day of the event to check in and receive your event bag. Participants must be age 21 or older to participate, and ID will be required at check-in. Remember, a wristband is required to receive samples. And please remember that wine cannot be taken outside when leaving each business. Once again, this is Saturday from 4 p.m. to 8 p.m. in downtown Minocqua. I'm Austin Brume, and this has been your local Civic Media News.
The Packers have a new kicker. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers have signed a new place kicker. He's 33-year-old Brandon McManus, who was with the Denver Broncos for 8 seasons. In 2023, McManus was accused of sexual assault by 2 flight attendants during a Jaguars team flight to London. The NFL investigated and cleared McManus of any charges. The Packers releasing their rookie kicker, Braden Narveson, who led the league in missed field goals with 5 in 6 games. College football. The Badgers head to Evanston to face the Northwestern Wildcats. Now, last November, Northwestern beat Wisconsin 24-10. This week's game to be played at a temporary stadium while Ryan Field is being rebuilt. Luke Fickell.
Wherever they ask us to play or tell us to play, we'll play. If it's a parking lot, we'll play in the parking lot. I don't think we got a whole lot to say after, you know, how we performed and how we played last year. So I could care less where we're playing at. And anytime you go on the road in the Big Ten, you're going to have to handle some things, whether it's, you know, a new stadium, whether it's the wind, whether it's a locker room. It is what it is.
That's Badgers head coach Luke Fickell with Sports on Mike Clemens.
From historic Title Town to our town, Park Falls, Wisconsin, Jack's Corner Bar located on Cedar Street serves up a Super Bowl of delicious daily specials, including deep-fried chicken daily. Fridays, enjoy fish fry with salad bar. Saturdays, look forward to pork and dumplings. Saturday night, take it to the house with a tasty prime rib with a championship salad bar. Game day breakfast on Sundays at Jack's Corner Bar, located in our town, Park Falls, Wisconsin, where strangers become friends and good times roll.
This is the Title Town Report, presented by the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board, executing its game plan to not only support soybean farmers, but all of Wisconsin. Learn more at wisoybean.org.
The Packers are back to work today, getting ready for Sunday's matchup against 5-1 Houston. I'm Bill Scott. Texans come in with the 3rd-ranked defense in the NFL.
What strikes me is just their style of play, the how hard and fast they get off the ball. You know, Will Anderson, he's a force. They got Hunter there now. But it, collectively as a unit, I think the whole D-line does a great job. And just looking at the numbers, it's one of the top-ranked defenses in the league.
The Packers ranked fourth on offense, which makes for a pretty good matchup on Sunday. Offensively for the Texans, they're sixth and much better with the recent return of Joe Mixon from an ankle injury.
The physicality with which he runs the football is different than most. So he'll be a big challenge. I think C.J. Stroud he is as talented as anybody. He's got a lot of weapons to throw to.
That's Matt LaFleur. I'll have more after this.
Thanks to Soy Checkoff Investments, the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board is huddling up and going deep with innovative products that help to protect Wisconsinites' blindside. Products like PFAS-free soy foam help to keep the brave men and women who fight fire safe while also protecting the communities they serve. Soy-based tires are like cleats for the road, keeping drivers on the road while removing harmful petroleum from the tires. The Checkoff's vision puts Wisconsin farmers in position to play the long game and grow markets and build demand for soybeans right here on our home turf. From every corner of the field, the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board knows how to execute a game plan to fuel Wisconsin's economy, communities, environment, and farms. To learn more about the innovative products coming from Soybean Farmers Investments, visit wisoybean.org. That's wisoybean.org.
The Packers will wear their all-white uniforms on Sunday, including helmets. And former Packers kicker Anders Carlson signed to the 49ers practice squad yesterday. He provides insurance for the Niners after kicker Matt Wright suffered a shoulder injury making a tackle on a kick return. Wright is kicking in place of Jake Moody, who suffered an ankle injury himself trying to make a tackle in the Arizona game. That's the latest from Titletown. I'll have more tomorrow on the Wisconsin Radio Network.
This weather update is sponsored by Hansen HVAC Heating and Cooling, your local Armstrong Air dealer of Phillips and Manitouish Waters. Northwoods
weather. Mostly sunny today, becoming a little breezy by late this afternoon. Our high today, 57. The wind southwest, 5 to 15 this morning, gusting to 25 by mid to late afternoon. Tonight, clear and breezy, 35. Tomorrow, sunny, windy, high of 64. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 21. 98Q
Country. All right, we check the weather twice an hour, every hour here on 98Q Country, 98.3 FM, and free through the Civic Media app, which you should be using today to send us the word tires. Pull up the Civic Media app, find 98Q Country in that list, hit the text button, and send in the word tires, T-I-R-E-S, for your chance to be one of five qualifiers that we'll have every day for the rest of this week. Don't panic if you don't qualify today. We'll send you a text to confirm if you do. But like I said, if you don't qualify today, just try again tomorrow or Friday. We do expect pretty much everyone who gives a good concerted effort there should find success in qualifying. You have to qualify to attend the event on October the 30th, and everyone who attends will be winning something, but only one person who shows up will be winning a brand new grill, and you must be present to win. Text the word tires, T-I-R-E-S. We've been talking reality radio left and right. I've talked to Susie Daniels. We talked to Courtney from the Park Falls Chamber. I have Big G and Steve, the bartender, in from the Fifield Lions. And I've got Big G here with me again, but this time we've rotated out. I've got Mark Johnson here. How's it going today, Mark?
Good. How you doing?
Quite well, quite well. Mark Johnson is the face, the name, the person behind what I think a lot of us have been running into more and more often around here. Drum roll. It's the Bigfoot barbecue sauce, those jars of absolutely delicious, smoky, sweet goodness that I have been falling in love with personally. Mark's the guy. Mark, you're not Bigfoot, but you make barbecue sauce, correct?
Yes, I do.
Well, how did you come to make barbecue sauce? I'm guessing there's a fair number of people who do that, but not so successfully and in a way that people get to see a lot. I think there's probably people with a jar at home and then they leave it there, but you've gone bigger. How did you start making barbecue sauce?
I just didn't like anything that was out there on the shelves and decided to start making my own.
As they say, necessity is the mother of invention, and that the mother of your invention, Bigfoot Barbecue. What makes Bigfoot Barbecue sauce unique? What did you do differently from those shelf options that you were aiming for?
My barbecue sauce, it's all clean ingredients. There's no high fructose corn syrup, no fillers.
Oh, see that immediately, you look anywhere and there's high fructose corn syrup. And if there's not, well, there's good old fashioned cane sugar, but I'll tell you what, I know which one I prefer more and more over time. And that's, yeah, that's if to find out that there's a little bit of sugar involved wouldn't surprise me at all, because like I said, that smoky sweet goodness is just something else. Where are you from, Mark? Where was home? Where is home? How did you find your way to the Park Falls area?
So my wife and I are from Oregon, and we moved to Butternut last year.
All right. And, I mean, so last year, like I mentioned earlier, I've been seeing these jars of sauce for quite a while now. It sounds like you, for lack of a better phrase, you hit the ground running. You've been barbecuing since you got to Wisconsin by the seams of it.
Yeah, so I had this little business back in Oregon, and I was doing very well at Farmer's Market and at a Bigfoot Festival. I sold 160 jars in 6 hours. And unfortunately, some people that were helping us stole my recipe and money, and I stopped doing it for about 6 years. And then we moved here to Wisconsin, and I thought, well, I'm going to start again. And I started making it and just handing it out to all the businesses that we've done business with and just random people. And it started to snowball. And then I found out that I could not make sauces in my kitchen. And so I stopped doing that, and my wife said, we need to go big or go home. So we hired a co-packer in Hudson, and here we are today.
Right. You basically found out that you had been misinformed as to whether you were able to do this in the way that you were doing it. And when presented with that info, like I mentioned before we started talking to you today on the radio, you basically were given a cut bait or fish now question, which in many cases, not to knock people, because you're facing that's a lot of human effort. That's a big commitment. It's either, like you said, go big or go home. There is no middle ground. There is no halfway option at that point. And I think it's fair to say a lot of people would have taken the safe route in that one. You know, there's out there is a building where I can go and give 40 hours of each week and they'll give me enough money to get by. But that wasn't going to cut it for you, was it?
No, so I'm a semi-retired machinist.
Okay.
And yeah, I know I have a good product just from all the feedback that I have received from people. Every time they try it, they're like, wow, this is the best we've ever had. And I love hearing that, and I rolled with that, and yeah, so.
I mean, and it's different from caring what other people think to want that validation. There's a certain, I think, joy out there in the world for finding out that there's a place for that thing that you love so much. I think a lot of us find a lot of different flavors of it. Big G is a member of a lot of classic car organizations. It's always gratifying to find out that other people enjoy something that you enjoy, especially, I'd have to imagine, if that's something you make. Mm-hmm. I make bad radio, so it doesn't really apply to me, but I can imagine that good barbecue sauce provides a certain type of joy. And by the way, I feel like I should say, before I ever met you, Mark, I'm sure a lot of people who are hearing this can relate. You've probably ran into several jars of Mark's Bigfoot barbecue sauce. I think I've ran into 3 jars of it, and I'm happier every time because I don't necessarily know offhand where I can buy it, but thankfully some of it's found its way to me. Where can people go if they want to take a look at Bigfoot barbecue sauce products?
So they can find it at Fifield Grocery, Butternut Feed Mill, Bader Sports Center out in Phillips.
All right.
Homespun Coffee in Phillips. The Bear Crossing in Glidden. CT's Deli in Rylander.
All right.
And Kayla's Kitchen and Closet in Park Falls.
So that list of businesses may have tickled the memory of some of our listeners wondering, why does this sound familiar? It's because it's already kind of everywhere, folks. If you're just hearing about Bigfoot barbecue sauce now, you're actually a little bit behind the eight ball, I would say, because I think we've hit that part where we're looking downhill, and now we just got to make sure we don't hit the bottom too fast, and we're ready for the next hill, because I think there's a lot of cottage industries in the area that for one reason or another, whether it's their goal or not, end up not making it outside of the house. And in a lot of cases, that's not the goal. So it's not like it's necessarily a bad thing. But you've clearly, I think it's safe to say you've got wings full of feathers and you're beginning to fly here.
Yes.
So what's the next step, you think, for Bigfoot Barbecue? Do you have a particular goal in mind, or is it just to keep making good barbecue sauce?
I just like making people happy when they try it. It's also a dipping sauce, a marinade. People put it in their meatloaf. They dip their French fries in it. I've had people put it on eggs. It's just a multi all-purpose sauce.
I'm not judging you if you put ketchup on your any given thing, but chicken nuggets come to mind. That said, I mean, if you're using ketchup, try Bigfoot barbecue sauce instead. It is not, it doesn't taste like ketchup. I'm not pretending that you're going to, every ketchup need is barbecue sauce now, but you should definitely give it that shot. You know, people should give it that try, because barbecue sauce, I think, is an underappreciated option as a condiment, but also, like you said, as a marinade. I mean, people, I think, have understood now that you can even barbecue sauce and some types of fish even get along if you're willing to put the time in and seal it in a bag in the fridge for long enough and do it the right way. Of course, our own local food connoisseur here at 98Q Country is none other than the one and only Big G.
Well, you know what you got to do. You got to get a big rack of ribs, put it on the grill. Throw some Bigfoot barbecue sauce on there, country style spare ribs. If I even do a chicken on the grill, I'll put some barbecue sauce on that, and wow, man, that just makes it. And Mark, I met Mark and Catherine at the way back. I think it was a year or two ago at the Phillips Sport and Home Show.
Yes.
And they've got a great product there, and you're talking about even expanding now a little bit down south.
Yes.
You were talking about trying to get some distributors down there, too. So,
yep.
Well, that was something you mentioned as part of that red tape that you realized was kind of holding you back. You dove over it in part by partnering with other organizations. You said it was a packaging plant, or what did you have to do to put yourself in compliance?
So I searched for a co-packer, and a lot of them had a minimum order you had to do, 500 gallons or 50,000 jars.
Gotcha.
I found a company called Joe Mama's Salsa that's in Hudson, and they're in over 300 stores, and they are there for the little guy. They started doing co-packing on the side. They didn't have a minimum. Tony and Wayne are the most honest guys you'll ever meet, and they've been through with me since April when we first started with the co-packer, and they've just been great.
So judging by context clues here, a co-packer sounds like somebody who has an existing packaging line who will basically give you a portion of that packaging power in return for, I'd have to imagine, a certain cut of your profits or something like that, making it possible for small products to hit larger markets, where normally there'd be a cost up front that just isn't really surmountable for most businesses in Price County, I would have to imagine, especially cottage industry.
Yes.
So their goal in this case, you said Joe Mama's Salsa.
Yep.
I mean, I love that they've got that name, because they've also apparently got a pair of wings on their back, helping the small guy out and making sure that other people can follow in what I'd have to imagine are the same footprints they followed to success, which was starting small and building their way up. I absolutely love that they, and I'm guessing a little bit here, but I think it's probably safe to assume that they want to help people out who are on a similar path to where they were at one point.
Oh, definitely, yes.
So, I mean, next up, we're going to see Joe Mama's Salsa in partnership with Bigfoot Barbecue. You're going to be wearing, you're going to have a fancier hat next time I see you, I expect, eh?
I'll definitely promote them, sure.
Well, hey, if I wanted Bigfoot Barbecue sauce right now, where's the best place for me to go? Right this second, where would you send me?
Fifield Grocery.
All right, that's the closest one here to the 98Q Country studios.
You might find some on a shopping show maybe in the future. We'll see.
Ooh, well, we can't spoil anything before it's for sure, but yep. We do have the shopping show every Friday morning here at 98Q Country. Tune in after 9 a.m. and you might be able to hear an excellent new edition, maybe no official announcements yet, of the Bigfoot barbecue sauce. We'll talk about that behind the scenes with Mark Johnson, the guy, the man behind Bigfoot barbecue sauce. Thank you for giving us some of your time this morning.
Thank you. Can I just say that Lola's Lunchbox has been a huge supporter of mine, and then they have used my barbecue sauce in their food.
They have been a huge supporter of mine, and they've gotten more of my wallet than I want to give any particular person. But hey, look out for Bigfoot Barbecue and other delicious condiment options at Lola's Lunchbox. Look for Bigfoot Barbecue sauce at awesome local establishments in Glidden, in Fifield, in Phillips, and in more places every day. Mark, thank you so much. Mark Johnson, Bigfoot Barbecue Sauce.
Thank you for having me.
We'll dive into more reality radio. We'll have Lena from Lena's Northern Pines and Lena's Bar and Grill up next after a check of the weather, a few country tunes, and some words from our local sponsors here on 98Q Country.
Staring for Someone lets a whistle out. A girl like her, she just can't see what the fuss is all about. And she don't know she's beautiful. Never cross the line. She don't know she's beautiful. No, she's not that kind. She don't know she's beautiful. Though time and time I've told her so. That's when she thinks she looks her worst. It's times like this, she don't know why I can't take my eyes off her. 'Cause she don't know she's beautiful.
Never cross my mind.
She don't know she's beautiful.
No, she's not that
she
kind.
She don't know she's beautiful. Though time and time I've told her, she don't know she's beautiful.
Still shut down the party. I can hang with anybody. I can drink whiskey and red wine, champagne all night, little scotch on the rocks, and I'm fine, I'm fine. But when I taste tequila, baby, I still see you cutting up the floor in a sorority t-shirt. Same one you wore when we were sky high in Colorado. Your lips pressed against the bottle, swimming on a Bible, baby, I never leave you. I remember how bad I need you when I taste tequila. When I taste tequila, I can kiss somebody. Songs in my car, baby, your memory, it only hits me this hard. When I taste tequila, baby, I still see you cutting up the floor in a sorority t-shirt, the same one you wore when we were sky high in Colorado. Your lips pressed against the bottle, standing on a Bible, baby, I never leave you. I remember how when I taste tequila, baby, I still see a sorority t-shirt, the same one you wore when we were sky high in Colorado. Lips pressed against the bottles, swimming on a Bible, baby, I never leave you. I remember how bad I need you when I taste tequila. When I taste tequila, when I taste tequila.
Wheelway with a special announcement from the folks down at Wheelway in Fifield. Morning to you, Pete.
Good morning.
I understand that you guys have vehicles left from the big sale that you guys are going to make available here for a while. Yeah, tell us a little bit about that.
Absolutely. We still got some inventory left over from the sale, some nice trucks, some minivans, some cars. We're going to reduce the prices even down even more. And every car that's on the lot, any reasonable offer, we're going to accept your offer.
All right. So they can get on in there. What are the when should they stop on by there, or how can they do that, Pete?
Hey, give us a call. If you can't make it down here, our number is 762-2467. The number again is 762-2467. Or go on our website, wheelwayautoswithans.com. Fill a credit application. Winter's coming up, and everybody's looking for a reliable and roadworthy vehicle. Every car that we sell has got a 1 month, 1,000-mile warranty. We got some nice inventory. They're looking for a new home.
And the service department, too. All right. Pete, Wheelway in Fifield. Good news for those looking for a vehicle. Pete, thanks for the update. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
You bet. Pete at Wheelway, Fifield, just a couple miles south of Park Falls, right on Highway 13. Stop on down and check it out. At Forward Insurance, you will always have a local agent in your corner because it's not just about a policy. As your local agent, they are your neighbor and the first to respond when you need them the most. They get involved in the community, and they always take time to find the best options to protect your family or business. Visit one of your trusted hometown local agents at 177 4th Avenue in Park Falls or Highway 13 in Phillips. Forward Insurance, always moving forward together.
Mostly sunny today, becoming a little breezy by late this afternoon. Our high today, 57. The wind southwest, 5 to 15 this morning, gusting to 25 by mid to late afternoon. Tonight, clear and breezy, 35. Tomorrow, sunny, windy, high of 64. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 22.
All right, news and sports twice an hour, every hour on 98Q Country, even when we have reality radio as we've had today. We just got done speaking with Mark Johnson, the man behind Bigfoot Barbecue Sauce. We've already spoken with Big G and Steve the bartender from the Fifield Lions. I even spoke with Susie Daniels from the Price County Department of Health and Human Services, as well as Courtney from the Park Falls Chamber. I've got a couple guests that we may or may not hear from today, but somebody I've got in studio with me, concrete in the flesh, it is Richard Pulcher, candidate for 68th Assembly, correct?
Yes.
All right. You're running for office here in the state. Why don't you give us a little background, Mr. Pulcher, about yourself, how you got into politics, and what brings you to where you are today?
Well, I have a degree in economics. I grew up on a farm in southwestern Minnesota.
Okay.
I followed a job to Wisconsin, and I was laid off a year later, but I kind of liked it here, so I stayed.
A more relatable story than perhaps we'd like to think, but certainly the most honest beginning that I can imagine, a farmer, and even more honest, you got out of it, which I think the most honest farmers are the ones who know it's not for them, perhaps. That said, brought you to the state, and what did you do once you landed here?
Well, I worked at a wood products manufacturing plant, and then later on I worked as maintenance worker at Clark County Healthcare Center, which is now Clark County Living and Rehab Center. I was a union steward at both places. And about every 3 years, we would negotiate a new contract. Now, the contracts were legally binding. And the biggest thing that we negotiated on was the conditions of employment. The money part of it took maybe a day or two, but we would spend months on conditions of employment, how people are treated, how they can get a day off, how they can be fired, how they can't be fired, all sorts of things like that. And sometimes we'd spend a day on a word and sometimes a week on a sentence. But my 19 years as a union steward definitely has made an impact on me.
Well, that's something that really stood out to me. Of course, it's kind of gotten lost in the shuffle behind what the term union has attached to it in today's day and age, which of course is really, in a lot of cases at least, entirely separate from the original purpose and what, I mean, the 40-hour work week, working only 5 out of 7 days a week. These are things that weren't commonplace until unions had a large role in this exact kind of bargaining you're talking about.
That's right. And people think that just because you got rid of unions, they're going to keep that. And some places are finding that that's just not true. Time and a half, double time on Sundays, all these kinds of things, they got their start with the unions.
I mean, even overtime pay was a thing that wasn't totally ubiquitous until it was codified
at the effort of unions, as I understand it. You know, there's a union at the heart of all of those efforts to get, if there's a labor law, there's probably a union involved most of the time, child labor being one of them.
Absolutely.
Now, you also mentioned you'd spoken of the movement to amend, something that I'd heard in the past, and I had to do a little bit of digging. What is the movement to amend?
Well, it's in response to the 2010 Supreme Court's Citizens United decisions. That decision said that corporations had the same right of free speech as individuals, and it also said that money is speech. And that means that if you try to limit the amount of money a corporation can spend on political advertising, that is a violation of their right of free speech. And so to fight that, Citizens to Amend was formed. And the purpose of Citizens to Amend is to talk to local units of government. Now, we have to start with local units of government because state and national governments are already too wedded to big money.
Okay.
And if you want to get big money out of politics and if you want to get big money out of your pocket, you're not going to be able, it's going to be very difficult at least, to be able to do it through state and national channels. So we start with our local units of government. And we have a resolution that your local unit of government can sign. And it basically says, we want to amend the Constitution so that only human beings have the right of free speech and that money is not speech. It's pretty simple. It's very straightforward. And if enough small units of government pass the amendment or pass the resolution, the state's going to have to take notice. And if enough states call for the amendment, it's going to happen. Now, as of April of this year, 22 states have called for the amendment. And in Wisconsin, 174 local communities have passed the resolution. And I have them here, the ones that have signed. It covers three pages.
I will vouch for that.
Four pages.
Three pages of very dense type, for that matter. We're not double-spaced here.
And so if your local community wants to pass the amendment, they're not plowing virgin ground. This has been done before, and you're joining a movement. You're not starting something from scratch.
Well, forgive the ignorant question, but I suspect some listeners may share it. Why an amendment? Why is that the path to doing this?
Well, to begin with, the Supreme Court was the ones that said this was what was constitutional.
Okay.
Now, if you just try to get members on the Supreme Court and say it's not constitutional, then another Supreme Court might come along and say, oh, those guys were wrong. It is constitutional. So we have to amend the Constitution so that the Constitution says in no uncertain terms that only human beings have the right to free speech and that money is not speech.
Now, of course, we seem to be butting up against that overlap that's been growing over time, especially in the last, I don't know, it feels like the last 15 years or so. There's been a lot of talk in just about every political corner about the role of the Supreme Court making decisions judicially versus making policy as a result of those decisions and what should be happening. This is a way this is an avenue that avoids some of the pitfalls of the current system and its current shape, right? This is a way to use the system as it's currently designed to benefit us rather than, as you argue, provide for shortfalls, really. It hasn't been serving us as well as it could, what I'm hearing.
Well, the Supreme Court is going to do what it's going to do. The purpose of the amendment is the Supreme Court can't say that this amendment is not part of the Constitution once
okay.
It becomes it. And it's very clear. So that they cannot go back and use some sort of vague interpretation or premise or past practice or whatever to say, well, we're going to have it mean this. No, if it's very straightforward and it's part of the Constitution, the Supreme Court cannot change it.
Well, and you mentioned, too, previously, I've heard you mention the role that the Fifth Amendment plays when it comes to the Supreme Court and their interactions with the public. What's the Fifth Amendment got going on that's part of your platform? If I may.
That's...
Forgive me. Forgive me, it's a little bit of a left turn, but just kind of taking a look at some of your major points through past discussions. I was reading about eminent domain and the ability of companies to take advantage of eminent domain, if you will. It didn't seem like an unfair description per se.
Well, eminent domain, it was designed so that if the government wanted to build a road, expand a road, generally roads is what it was used for, they could condemn your property and use it. Okay, so if you don't want the road and you want your property, you have no choice.
I remember the phrase was, for the good of the people.
Something
like that.
And I guess I don't have a problem with that. However, the Walker Republican administration... was lobbied by a Canadian pipeline company, and they wanted to expand their pipeline, but they didn't want to buy the land from the landowners. So what they wanted to do was just condemn the land so they could expand their pipeline. Well, the Walker administration weakened the eminent domain laws of the state of Wisconsin so that any for-profit entity could condemn your land. Okay? If the pipeline wants to expand, now all they have to do is condemn the land next to it and take it. But it also had a ripple effect. For example, when Foxconn was willing to build here, they condemned the homes of the places where they wanted to build their factories. And those people had no choice. They weren't buying it at a fair market price. They were condemning the land through eminent domain, and there was some compensation that the homeowner would get. But it was something that really upset people's lives, because you have a home, you've got a 20-year mortgage on it, this is where you're going to stay, and then suddenly someone says, well, you know, we can make some money on this property, so we're going to throw you off. It just doesn't make sense to me. And it doesn't make sense that any homeowner in the state of Wisconsin would want to vote for somebody who would do this to them.
That Foxconn plant in particular, that construction project completed, I have to imagine, and that plant is operating now, I would expect.
I have heard that someone else is operating the land, and I don't know the nuts and bolts of whatever's going on there.
But
I knew that, do know that all the tax breaks that were given to Foxconn are not going to happen, because Foxconn is not really doing what they claim they were going to do. Now, that brings up another question. What is the role of government in attracting businesses? The role of government should be stability. Rules that everyone has to abide by, so that if somebody wants to decide to locate in Wisconsin, they know what's going to happen. To change the rules in the middle of the game, to change something that has been around forever, actually adds instability to the marketplace, and businesses are not going to want to come into an unstable business climate. That was part of the problem with companies wanting to invest overseas. They thought, well, if we invest, their government's not stable enough. They may change the rules. Well, we want the rules to be the same as when we invested. So we have enough to worry about with the marketplace, with our consumers, with our workforce. We don't need to worry about what the government's going to do next. So even when the government claims to be helping a company, stability, I think, is a better path to take.
All right. I think that's probably a word that a lot of people can resonate with. Stability, a very attractive idea, especially just given the general state of life in the U.S. for the last however long. I think that's probably what a lot of people would if you thought about it and you had to write down an essay, I think a lot of people might include stability in what's a key part of the American dream. Of course, that could be 200 items long, but I'd have to imagine that stability would be a part of that. Got a general one here for you. What is the Richard Pulcher platform on inflation? What does inflation mean for you and your campaign?
Well, the definition of inflation is fairly simple. It's too much money and too few goods. That's it. Now, the problem with the situation that we have now is the government has invested a lot in infrastructure, and we're also having a lot of investment in renewable energy. Now, those people are working, they're being paid for their jobs, and the fruits of their labor haven't really come to fruition yet. For example, renewable energy. A neighbor of mine bought an electric car. He powers it at night when the electric rates are low. And the cost to him is the equivalent of about 80 or 90 to 100 miles per gallon. Now, as electric cars become more and more available, the price will come down. They will be more reliable because they have fewer moving parts. The price of gasoline is going to become inconsequential to many Americans. The same is with the infrastructure. As buildings and businesses grow up around the roads and everything, the products are going to be produced and the prices are going to come down. Now, the Federal Reserve has a way of dealing with inflation, too. Please, don't ask the government or the Federal Reserve to deal with inflation, because how they do it is by making the cost of money higher. They raise the interest rate, which means if you don't have enough money now, you're going to have even less after the Federal Reserve gets done with you.
Right, absorbing excess is really the idea there. That creating the raising interest rate is it kind of absorbs that bulge we have in funds compared to goods produced. So that being the idea is to bring the two even of them. That doesn't necessarily have immediate positive benefits for everybody involved.
Well, it doesn't have immediate positive benefits for anybody except people who've got their money invested. You're not going to get more Wheaties. As opposed to a generic brand, if the Federal Reserve reduces or increases the interest rate. What you're going to have is more people who can't afford it, and so the demand is going to come down and the price comes down. And that's just a terrible way to do it. And Bidenomics was it is a means of inflation, but inflation is happening when the economy is a rip-roaring economy. Jobs are up, investment is up. The only thing that anyone can complain about is inflation. And as these products that we're investing in, that we're paying workers to make right now, that aren't on the market yet, as those become on the market, the prices are going to come down. Now, I watched the Republican convention. They talked about less government regulations. Well, if the problem with inflation is corporations ripping you off and charging too much, charging whatever the market will bear, then you're going to have inflation. And the only way that government can deal with that. Now, the Federal Reserve is the banking system.
Not the federal government, correct? Like they're the Federal Reserve, but that doesn't mean they're a government branch.
No. The head of the Federal Reserve is nominated by the president, confirmed by the president. Otherwise, the government keeps their hands off. That is by law. That is the Federal Reserve Act that was signed into law by Woodrow Wilson in December of 1913. The federal government can impose wage and price controls. And if that happens, you're going to find all kinds of screaming and hollering about capitalism, the free market, and all kinds of stuff like this. The reason we have inflation is because people do have money, they do have jobs, and they're spending their money. Just give it a little while. Now, the Federal Reserve could have increased the interest rate not too long ago, and they chose not to because the rate of inflation is already coming down. And like I said, inflation is all the Republicans have to run on. And it kind of bothers me as a person who has a degree in economics that people are buying into the idea that the world is coming to an end because of the inflation, where as these products come onto the market, the cost of living will come down. Now, if you don't have to buy gasoline and the price of gas is $8 a gallon, you don't care.
Exactly. If it doesn't affect you, you've got that kind of bubble around you at that point that it just bounces right off you.
That's right.
But that said, at no point is everybody completely immune from that kind of move, and we'd see effects if gas spiked in that way. One thing you mentioned that I wanted to touch on before we run out of time with you today, negative advertising, a trend, of course, that anybody my age, we've grown up in the realm of attack ads. Mudslinging was the term I learned in high school. How does that play into the modern political environment, and how does that affect your campaign in ways that it might not have in the past?
Well, it affects my campaign because I'm against it. And it is not a direct result, but it has greatly accelerated since the Citizens United decision. Right now, people can form a corporation, give it a highly patriotic name, spend all kinds of money on negative ads, and their name isn't mentioned. So they can be really mean-spirited, because when you badmouth someone, it kind of reflects on you. But if you can badmouth someone and nobody will know it's you,
then you just
that's a good deal.
Yeah, then
you've
it's just
got the money.
Your words out there in the void, take them as you will, but you don't connect them with us. I see the idea there. I mean, and I can think of how many billboards, how many commercials that end with paid for by, you know, like, and it's, you're right, it's usually some kind of patriotic. I don't want to name any in particular because I might tread on the toes of a more longstanding and publicly interested group, but I know you can think of, they're usually like three words and it's usually blank for blank, and America's probably in there, and just a lot of ugly rhetoric before that.
Yeah, there was a negative ad for me several years ago when I was running for the 87th Assembly. It said, Richard Poulter was arrested and spent two nights in jail for writing bad checks. Well, that is true with the exception of one word. It was one check for $16 and change. The business that had it, I'm sure they sent me something when it was first written, but that was the only time. And I had some people get a hold of some of my checks, and I was trying to cover them, and at least this one I wasn't able to. And the business kept it for several years, and then they turned it over to the sheriff's department, and they kept it for several years. And then one night at a vacant intersection, I did a rolling stop through a stop sign, and I was picked up, and when they ran my license, they said, oh, you've had this bad check for many, many years. We're going to arrest you. So I was arrested. I didn't really know what was going on. I had never been arrested before. And so I spent 2 days in jail before I realized that if somebody paid $200, I could get out. Well, I called my boss and told him, you know, I haven't been to work for a couple days because I've been in jail.
How do you even begin that sentence? You just, I mean, I at a certain point, I think you just got to jump off the cliff that is those words. And just, I'm in jail, boss. Come get me.
And so he paid the $200 fine, and or the $200 bail, which ended up in a $200 fine. For that check for $16 and changed, I paid a $200 fine. I made full restitution, and I spent two days in the custody of the county courthouse. Now, a couple of things that come to mind, and I describe this a little bit further on my website, is the sheriff's department. When they got that check and decided to sit on it, they were not doing that business a favor. And lazy law enforcement is what that is. Now, the thing that gets the headlines about law enforcement is when they overstep their bounds and are cruel to some minority or whatever. Not white men, but whatever. But the thing that bothers me is when they're just not doing their job. Law enforcement is the boots on the ground for our Constitution. If we don't have law enforcement, the Constitution is meaningless. And what we need to do is support our law enforcement. We need to back them up when necessary. We need to hold them and rein them in if they're getting a little out of control. And we need to understand that they are public servants, just like, well, if I get elected, I will be a public servant. And that they have a duty to fulfill their job, whether it's dangerous, mundane, or just plain boring.
That's the word I thought of when you said mundane. I was like, I imagine there's a lot more boring happening for the average law enforcement officer. And more is the benefit. That's no news is good news, I think, when you're a cop, I would have to expect. So that said, that stance and others, you mentioned your website, richardpulcher.com, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And I'll wind down a little bit with a quote from your flyer that we haven't touched on too much, but I think bears mentioning. I'm not running against Trump. I'm running for the Wisconsin Assembly. That's a quote you stand by.
Well, yes, because a lot of what the Walker, now most people think of the Wisconsin Assembly as being Trump people, but they're not. They're Walker people. And Trump said he is America first. I have no problem with that. At the Republican convention, he said he wants to bring good paying union jobs back to America. I'm in full agreement with that. But the Walker Republicans, they took away the right, a lot of the ability of local governments to pass their own laws. They passed Act 10 to get rid of the unions. That is in direct opposition to what Trump says he wants. And I honestly wonder if you're a Trump supporter, if you can support any local Republican for state office.
Well, so, I mean, that becomes the third leg. I think we've talked about stability, we've talked accountability, and I think in that way you've mentioned consistency that you'd like to see from your potential future peers. Of course, we're talking to Richard Pulcher, candidate for Wisconsin Assembly 68th District. Find him, his platform, a lot of info about him at richardpulcher.com. And I think something that, Richard, you can agree with, one thing that regardless of your stance, regardless of whether you agree with the person who lives next door, get out and vote, right?
Absolutely.
V-O-T-E, vote, vote, vote. Well, like I said, head online to richardpulcher.com. Richard, thank you so much. Some great information. We wish you the best, and we salute you for being part of the process, and really thank you for your effort for us as U.S. citizens. We appreciate that.
Thank you for having me.
All right. We'll dive back in. We have Lena from Lena's Bar and Grill in Lena's Northern Pines. We've been speaking with Richard Pulcher. We'll be finishing up Reality Radio talking to Lena about all the crazy things she's been up to, fundraising and running every business north of here, I do believe, or something like that by this point. That'll be coming up next on 98Q Country. After a quick country tune, here's Down to the Honky Tonk from Jake Owen.
Got a house down a back road, I got a flag On the front porch, I got a dog named Waylon. I got a driveway that needs paving. I got a boat with a two-stroke, a couple guaranteed to make you laugh jokes. I got friends in low places. Yeah, life is what you make it. I might not end up in the Hall of Fame with a star on a sidewalk with my name, or a statue in my hometown when I'm gone. Nobody gonna name their babies after me. I might not go down in history, but I'll go down to the honky-tonk. Got a girl named Sheila, she goes bash on tequila. Got a job that gets the job done. I got a loan at the bank, it's a big one. The only place you might see my name is on a wall for a good time call. I'm a local legend on a Friday night in a Pabst Blue Ribbon neon light. I might not end up in the Hall of Fame with a star on a sidewalk with my name, or a statue in my hometown when I'm gone. Nobody gonna name their babies after me. I might not go down in history, but I'll go down to the honky-tonk. I go down to the honky tonk. I go down to the honky tonk. I go down. I go down to the honky tonk. I go down to the honky tonk. I go down to the honky tonk. I go down. I go down to the honky tonk. Fame and a star on a sidewalk with my name, or a statue in my hometown when I'm gone. Nobody gonna name their babies after me. I might not go down in history, but I'll go down to the honky-tonk. I go down to the honky-tonk. I go down to the honky-tonk. I go down. Down to the honky-tonk. I go down to the honky-tonk. I go down to the honky-tonk. I go down. I go down to the honky-tonk.
Country.
At 98.3 FM and on the free Civic Media app.
All right, Greg Gunderson here in the 98Q Country Studios. I've been with you since this morning at 6 o'clock covering for Joel. I expect we will see Joel in studio tomorrow, I do believe, but any changes, I'll let you know about my afternoon show today, 2 to 7. We've spoken with everybody from Susie Daniels with the Department of Health and Human Services here in Price County to members of Fifield Lions and the owner of a barbecue sauce company. Now for you, I've got the whirlwind herself. I've got Lena of Lena's Bar and Grill and Lena's Northern Pines. How's it going today, Lena?
It's going very well. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning, and thank you so much for making time in what must be the busiest schedule in all of the Shawamigan National Forest. If I had to guess, your name popping up more and more on more buildings and in more fundraising efforts and helping out Catkins, and ooh, I'm glad you were able to find a couple minutes to rub together.
Well, thank you very much. My pleasure. It's about community, Greg.
Well, hey, that's something that you'll probably hear pretty often from me. I'm a big believer in the fact that each other, none of us can make the Northwoods in an individual basis. And businesses with ownership like yourself and the organizations that you both represent and contribute to, I mean, it might be the best example of how the Northwoods works, if you ask me. Now, I'll be honest. I've got the name here. What are we highlighting today, Big G? What's the name of the game?
Well, you know, our roads lead to Lena's there, Lena's Northern Pines and Butternut, Lena's Bar and Grill on Glidden. She's always got something going on out there. We got events coming up. I can't really. Can I hear Lena?
Yes.
No?
Go ahead and throw those headphones on.
I have my headphones on, so I was kind of working blind here.
Technical moments here in the 98Q Country Studios. That's what happens when you get a substitute. I do afternoon things.
Earth to Lena.
Lena, can you hear Big G? Okay.
I can hear you, gentlemen, just fine.
All right. So
excellent.
Glad to have you, Lena. I know we talked, and man, we got a howling Halloween party coming up here on the 1st of November. Why don't you give us a little bit of insight on that?
Yeah, it's a little bit rough this year for everybody with Halloween being on a Thursday. So I decided, well, Friday night, November 1st, 7 to 11 p.m. out at the Northern Pines. We have the First Hand High Band out of Prentice coming to entertain us from 7 to 11. We're going to have a bash outside in that big monster garage that I have, along with drinks and a lot of fun. A